Hi guys, welcome to episode 8 of Success in the City. Today we're going to do a highly requested episode about apartment hunting in New York.
Hi guys, yes. This is more like his expertise area, so I'm just going to participate. But we'll disagree on so many things, so.
Yes, should be
take
fun.
Take note.
Yeah. So we wanted to start off maybe just going over, you know, which neighborhoods do you recommend for which age ranges. We're going to do like a fresh out of college, a 3 to 5 year out of college, and a 5+ years out of college, since that seems to be, you know, most of our audience age ranges.
Yeah, that covers everyone, I think.
So, you know, generally when you're fresh out of college and moving into the city, you want to move into something affordable in a good location that's well connected. So I think, you know, for the most part, that includes the Upper East Side, Kips Bay, Murray Hill, East Village, and Tudor City.
Mm-hmm. And Long Island City.
Yeah, I personally don't know too much about, like, Queens or Brooklyn in general, just because I've never lived there, so I can't speak much about that. Mm-hmm. I do know that, you know, Long Island City is a very popular neighborhood nowadays.
Yeah, I have friends living there, and it's so close to Midtown East, so actually a lot of people...
Yeah, that's true. It's quite accessible, and it's very new. It's new and it's affordable, mm-hmm. so you can definitely get more bang for your buck there than in most of Manhattan. But, you know, Upper East Side I've lived in, Kips Bay, Murray Hill I've lived in, so I can definitely speak about those.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I lived out of college. I still live on the East Side.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's a very good bang for your buck. It's affordable and it's a good location, easily accessible. You know, if you want to get to Midtown or FIDI or wherever else you might be working. East Village is, you know, a little older. Like, you have more walk-ups and stuff, not as much new construction, but it's still a very good deal, and it's very lively. There's a lot of good mm-hmm. restaurants and nightlife and bars.
Yeah.
And Tudor City is actually surprisingly affordable for where it is. It's
yeah.
close to, like, the UN building and stuff, and has really nice views of the water.
Mm-hmm. And it's slightly older. So I think, like, for people kind of, like, fresh out of college, what you need to decide is what you're prioritizing. Do you want to live in a more trendy neighborhood? And you
yeah.
can, like, kind of, in that case, you have to give up a little bit on the comfort and the ease of transportation.
The quality, basically.
The quality, right? The
yeah.
quality of the building and the studio you get, as well as the transportation, right? Or do you prioritize the location you prefer to walk to work, in which case you can pick like Kips Bay, Murray Hill, but then it's not in such a fun area, right? So
yeah.
I think at first deciding what's important to you is key.
Definitely.
And
yeah.
then you can narrow it down. But yeah.
Yeah, so that's different for everyone. It's just
uh-huh.
kind of what your personal
so
preferences
are. So where did you
are.
Live out of college?
So out of college, I lived in, I guess it would be Kips Bay.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little south of Murray Hill. In a walk-up, it was...
Was it a studio?
No, it was a one-bedroom,
mm-hmm.
which was probably a mistake. It was more expensive than I could actually afford, but I didn't realize that when I first moved.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how high the taxes were here,
yeah.
that I'd be coming home with a little more money. But, you know, it was actually horrible, you know, like, there were just rats all over, like, the lobby, lobby is a stretch, it's just, like, the stairs going up to the apartment, it's, like,
there
trash
were
everywhere.
Rats?
Yeah, like,
no
up and
way.
Down, up and down the stairs, all the time there were rats.
No way.
Yeah, it was just...
I know there are, like, tiny little mice in New York apartments that stand
I don't know.
Guys
they weren't...
And cockroaches,
okay.
but, like, not rats.
Not, like, the subway rats, but, like, those are, like, the size of cats. But, like, these are, like... No, they were, like,
gross.
Big. They were big. They looked big.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was
so
gross.
That's the background. So you were in a one-bedroom in Kips Bay... You lived alone,
yeah.
Fresh
no,
out of college.
No dishwasher, no laundry in the building.
Oh my gosh.
Not a good...
That sounds
not
like
a, good,
a horrible deal either.
Yeah. It was big, which is what I kind of, you know, what kind of drew me to it. It was like an 800 square foot apartment.
That's really big for New York.
Yeah, yeah it is really big.
But like, what do you need it for? I never understood that.
Yeah,
like, fresh
I mean,
out of college, like you don't have furniture even. I mean, I moved here with just my clothes from college. and just like bought like someone else's furniture who was moving, you know, out of that apartment. And, you know, I didn't really care that much about space, to be honest.
Yeah, I've always cared about space. I have a lot of stuff and furniture and
music stuff.
Yeah, I play a lot of music, so I have like, you know, keyboards and guitars and stuff. So I don't know, it's nice to have some kind of space for that.
Yeah.
But anyway, definitely a mistake. You know, I was making 100K, paying 3K a month on
rent.
That's
too much.
And yeah, definitely too much. We'll go over, you know, how much to spend like later in this episode.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's what we wanted to go over for fresh out of college. For, you know, when you're like a few years out of college, like, and working in the city 3 to 5 years out, you can move to some of like the more trendier, more expensive neighborhoods, I guess, if you want to, like Gramercy, Flatiron, West Village, Nomad. You can actually, you know, if you're lucky, you can get a good deal in some of these, but they tend to be expensive. Like you tend to pay a lot more for location and not get, you know, the best deal on on the actual living space itself.
But
if you value that, if you value being in a trendier neighborhood and stuff, then yeah, it's definitely something, definitely not something you should do right out of college, but you can start thinking about that maybe like 3 to 5 years out. And, you know, 5+ years after that, it's almost, you're going back towards those like cheaper kind of neighborhoods because you're probably looking for a bigger space. If you were previously living with roommates, you probably want to move alone or move in with a significant other.
Yeah.
Maybe thinking about, you know, starting a family or something. So you can look back at like Long Island City, Upper East Side, Upper West Side, some of the areas where you can get some more space and, you know, just better deal for your money.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so what I did fresh out of college was, first of all, I definitely made up my mind that I wanted to live with a roommate because I knew how expensive New York was, and I knew that I was gonna work like relatively long hours. So I was thinking about my like living space a little bit more pragmatically, just a place to sleep, honestly. So I didn't even know close friends who were gonna end up in the city, and I use like these Facebook groups and stuff to look for roommates or people who are subletting. So I was lucky enough to get a very good deal in Upper East. Back then Upper East Side didn't have the Q train, so it was actually kind of inconvenient. And because of that, it was very cheap. So I was paying like $1,400 a month or something. That's just so amazing.
Because for your half, to clarify.
For my half, yes.
$2,800 for the whole place.
Yeah.
Just still 14, amazing for a two-bedroom. $1,400
rent is just, it still gives you so much spending money with a first-year analyst salary. And I think it was a decent walk-up. I thought it was cute. It was very New York. I saw cockroaches once or twice. I saw one tiny mouse. That's about it. I mean, I screamed, I freaked out, like, right now I'm talking about it so like, you know, rationally, but at the time I was like very upset when I saw those things. But then you just have to get used to this, you know, like if you're in a walk up, you're probably gonna see one or two, you know, one of these things. I also saw like really weird bugs that like I didn't even know what they were. Like they had like,
oh,
I don't
God.
Know, like 100 feet, like
the antenna ones.
Those
nasty
are so
cockroaches.
Freaky. Oh my gosh, also in New York, for the first time, I learned that cockroaches can fly. I never knew they could fly.
Yeah.
I was trying to kill one, and then like it just started flying. It was the craziest thing. But guys, you just, if you're going for a walk up, that's just what you get, okay? Like,
these things not to discourage you from living in a walk up, but these things are fucking huge here.
Yeah.
Like, they're I don't know, they're like the size, they're bigger than like your keys.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
absolutely.
Almost the size of like a fork handle or something. It's huge.
I think it's just not to like discourage you, but it's just to prepare you mentally. Like it can happen, right? Especially I imagine like so many girls like screaming because I was there, but eventually you get used to it, I promise. But anyway, this was a very good deal because I was like, you know, early on like 73rd or something, so it wasn't like super Upper East Side, like close to Harlem.
Yeah.
And this price is just so amazing. You know, I sometimes walk to work, which was like 40 minutes. It's insane. But like, I would like call my mom and like walk the hallway. So it was actually a very good deal. The only thing about Upper East is like, it feels like you're kind of missing out on this like young New York crowd.
Definitely.
Fun scene, right? Because everyone's like hanging out downtown. So I didn't think that was a huge issue. You know, I was always a good planner, made plans downtown, and you know, you just had to like take a cab or commute to downtown for brunches or whatever. But I never necessarily think like, oh, I have to live in like the area where I have fun. You know, I can like,
yeah.
I'm okay segregating those two things.
I think that's a really important point, is that you shouldn't live where you want to go out necessarily. You should actually, because think about it, like you're
probably like a little separation. Yeah.
Separation is good, but you're also like, I think the most important thing is your commute to work. And
agreed.
You should, honestly, you should plan around that rather than where you want to go get drunk every weekend.
Yeah, because yeah.
That's,
I mean,
like,
you work
2 days,
five times.
Whatever,
exactly.
Maybe go out on weekdays. You're going to go out, like, what, 3 times a week probably at most, 4 times.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to work, like, 5 days a week. And it's in the mornings, too.
Minimum.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, definitely try to prioritize around that. I mean, walking to work is a luxury, but if you can afford that.
I mean,
it depends where you're working, I guess. But
if I will walk anywhere in New York if it's less than 30 minutes for the most part.
I agree with that.
And if I'm like in a mood, like if I'm on the phone with a friend and I just don't want to like get in the subway, I'll just keep walking sometimes.
Yeah.
So that's what it was. But I eventually moved to like kind of Midtown East area, very close to Grand Central, to a studio. And it was like a very bad studio, no dishwasher, nothing. And now that I think about it, like looking at these COVID deals, I was overpaying for that studio because of its location, which is right by Grand Central, like really good location. But I actually walked to work. So like that.
You weren't taking advantage of the
location.
Yeah,
the proximity
really, yeah.
to the subway wasn't something that I was utilizing. So like you have to watch out for stuff like that too, because you might be overpaying because you're close to the subway, but what if you don't use the subway? You know
exactly,
what I mean?
Exactly. So, yeah.
Location is important, but don't overpay for location or proximity to, you know, corporate world.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. And I guess kind of to tie into that, I guess our next topic was going to be how much of your salary to actually spend on your rent. Because this is something that I think a lot of people don't know. And in New York, it's maybe not the same as in other parts of the country, because rents are just so fucking high here.
Yeah.
The kind of other rules that people might tell you might not really apply here. So for me, I think absolute maximum, it should be one paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like a lot already.
Yeah, I disagree with that. I think it should be so much below your one paycheck. I think we mentioned it in our like episode 3 or something, where I was talking about the absolute necessities, where like your rent, groceries, and your mandatory bills are some like mandatory interest payments, debt payments,
yeah,
or bills.
Yeah.
Anything mandatory, right? So that's rent, groceries, and
utilities, internet, Wi-Fi,
exactly.
Whatever, phone
and,
bill, everything else.
And student debt or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
All of that should make up one paycheck.
And I think it's also kind of like, if you think about the more money you're making, the more money you have left over after one paycheck, right? So if you want to be living in like a really expensive apartment and you're making $300K a year, you can afford that expensive apartment, even if it comes close to one paycheck a month, because that paycheck that you have left over can cover, you know, everything else you need, plus a lot saved over
mm-hmm.
to invest and stuff. So I think this is something that, you know, at least.
I mean, I disagree. I mean, even if we always fight about this, guys, because like, I just look at it so differently. Like, even if you make 300K, you shouldn't be paying 10K for rent. Like, just period. It's just so high. That money just goes into thin air. It feels like it's not like a mortgage payment where it's going towards your home equity. I just disagree with with him all the time, because like when we think about living together eventually, his point of view is that our budget should be what he pays for rent plus what I pay for rent.
I think less.
Yeah, but like I think we should just be paying way less. When we split a place, but you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I mean, I'm not being stingy. I just think like rent is so obscenely high in New York that like also, I don't know. I don't spend that much time in my apartment because I'm always running around, especially if we go back to the office. You know, I don't know what, you know, what the point is, but you're working from home. No, that's totally fair.
Exactly. Like for you, if you're not spending as much time at home as I am, like working from home, for me at least, I think that, you know, my living space is very important, and because it's also my workspace and it's where I'm spending most of my day.
Yeah, I mean, I don't deny it's important. Definitely, like, look, you can make any space cozy and welcoming and peaceful. I just believe that. I lived in a very tiny studio before this. That didn't look good. It looked old, but I just made it look cute and peaceful.
Yeah, with small decorations,
and it was such a zen space, and I was very happy with that. I think you can definitely manage to do that with most places in New York.
I mean, if anyone can make a place cute, it's you. You have an amazing talent for making these places.
I don't
places,
know how I do it.
You just have to have a really good eye, aesthetic eye. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree. I probably tend to overspend on rent.
Yes.
But I, yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I keep telling you.
Yeah, that's why you keep telling me. I need to stay up on top of, you know, lifestyle inflation, which I've been getting better at, to be fair. You need to give me some credit there. But it's hard. I mean, when you change jobs and you're all of a sudden making a lot more money, it's hard to, like, not splurge a little bit.
And I'm not saying deny yourself these good things in life, right? Like for me, I waited about 2.5 years before I moved to a studio by myself. And I knew I was gonna have like a, I don't know, like a 20% raise at the end of that year because I was gonna get promoted, right? So I like planned for it. I feel like you can reward yourself if you know you're gonna get a base bump or something like that, but always keep yourself in check, right? Like, you don't wanna put yourself in a bad situation where you feel guilty for going out to eat with your friends or, you know, buying something small for yourself.
Of course, yeah.
Because you don't have so much money left after you pay for your rent. So that's just what I try to do. I mean, always live below your means, and I think it also keeps you humble, honestly, so. It always makes me very uncomfortable when I'm in like too big of a house and you know, too luxurious of a space. But that's just me. He's definitely different.
I like spending money. What can I say? It makes me happy.
All right.
anyway. All right. So we talked about how much of your salary to spend on rent. Now let's talk a bit about, you know, what I consider to be, you know, fair amounts to pay for like a studio, one bedroom, or if you want to split a two bedroom with roommates.
Yeah.
I think
that's a very good idea too.
Splitting, I think especially when you first move to the city, I regret not doing that, or at least moving into a studio. I definitely overspent when I first came to the city. So anyway, this varies a lot by neighborhood. If you're looking, I guess, in the fresh out of college range, from, you know, for like Kips Bay, Murray Hill, East Village, I would say that, you know, you can get a studio for maybe low 2000s to like maybe 2600. So, yeah. Hell's Kitchen too, actually. Yeah, they have some good deals there. So like, I'd say from like 2000 to 2500, you can get for like a studio. One beds probably start around like maybe 2900, 3000, go up to like, I mean, obviously with one bedrooms, you can get, you know, go to like a more luxury doorman building. That's going to be more like 3,500 to 4,000. And if you want to split a two bedroom with roommates, I think you would come in around spending maybe like 2,000 a person, something like that.
So, I mean, you can go to a lesser quality building and get a studio by yourself, and you can still pay the same amount, split that place with a roommate, get a two bedroom in a better quality building. So it's really about what you want to do, right? So like, do you really value your, you know, individual space? You feel like you can wind down better, it makes you more productive or something like that? Or maybe you have like, you know, a long distance relationship and your boyfriend comes visits every once in a while. Like, maybe you want to, you know, have your own private space. So it's really about that, but I think it's a great idea, especially if like it's a big enough two bedroom, to have a roommate and pay the same money but take advantage of a better building with better
amenities,
you know, amenities and stuff like that.
Maybe better location, maybe just newer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely agree with that. I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, like the second sort of category, like Gramercy, Flatiron, Nomad, then those rents are going way up. Like, you're looking at like 5K plus for a one bedroom.
Yeah, it's obscene.
And it's probably not even worth splitting with a roommate for a two bedroom. Because they're tiny, and you're just better off getting a one bedroom in like a less trendy neighborhood at that point.
Yeah.
It's probably like six and a half K plus for a two bedroom in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah. If you like look at who lives around those neighborhoods too, I feel like it's a lot of young people with families who work corporate jobs, like I can tell. And like, think about that age range, like they're like 30 plus, if not mid 30s. So like, think about that. Pay, I mean, on average, they probably make like what, two times what we make together.
Yeah, they make
at
like
that age, right?
Yeah.
Like in like 7 years or something, we're gonna make so much more money. Maybe then we can justify it, right? Always look around you and who's living there.
Yeah.
That being said though, like I also like, I, as much as I love that area, like where NYA kids live, where is that?
Washington Square Park.
I love that area. It's so positive and lively. I just feel like I don't want to live around college students. I just feel like it might be too much for me, like too loud, too juvenile. I mean, I'm overgeneralizing, but always look around you and like see who lives there, and then that will give you an idea too, right? Who do you want to be around?
You bring up a good point too, though, is it can be deceiving sometimes about who actually lives there and who hangs out there.
Oh, yeah, that's
because, like, you know, Washington Square Park has a lot of dorms, but then if you also look at the actual apartments that you can rent there, they're really fucking expensive.
Really?
Yeah. Or if you look at Soho, and you look there and you see, like, a bunch of, like, artsy young people, like, those people can't actually afford to live there, right?
Who even can live in Soho? I mean, it's crazy. Tiny 5-block radius, and I don't even know, like, who can live there? It's so freaking expensive.
It's a bit more than 5 blocks, but it's mostly for sale, I think, honestly, because I've looked at the rents there before, and
you can't find anything.
I mean, what you can find is just really small and like ugly looking, and most of the stuff there is just like, you know, really fancy lofts for sale.
Yeah, so that's another thing that those, like, you know, New York sitcoms lied to us about. Like, we talked about this in the friendship episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, all of these people living in huge apartments.
It's crazy.
It's just so unrealistic. And they just, like, have, you know, regular jobs, and they can afford these big two bedrooms in, like, West Village or something like that.
So I guess another few things we wanted to cover are kind of the differences in different types of buildings and what you get for your money. So one big distinction in New York is the doorman building versus the walk-up. You know, obviously living in a doorman building, you have a lot more amenities. You get like a package room. You have someone managing the front desk, which can give you a better sense of, like, you know, security and stuff.
Yeah.
It's definitely nice. They generally have like a nice entrance, and doorman is very helpful and can help you with, you know, if you need to get your food delivered, they can like pick it up for you, and like you can come get it from downstairs. They can hold packages for you. There's definitely a lot of benefits from that. But, you know, walk-ups are tend to be cheaper, and if you don't value those kinds of things, then, you know, probably not worth splurging on that kind of
building. I mean, look, not all doorman buildings are created equally, right?
Definitely.
I lived in a doorman
too.
Building. I could barely call that a doorman building. The only thing that was nice about it was, like, someone got my Amazon packages and, like, handed them to me as I entered the building. That's about it, right? So not everything... not every doorman building is gonna give you this like luxurious feeling necessarily, because my building was quite old and shitty looking, but you know, they put doorman there to make you feel like safer or whatever. And I do think that's a little bit helpful, you know, especially if you're living in like not so great areas. I don't know, Midtown can get sketchy at night. So like, I felt like that was nice. One thing I will say though, like for instance, I have friends who are like living in, you know, doorman buildings or like semi-dorm, like what is it called? The virtual doorman buildings in Upper East.
Just a fancy intercom system basically.
Yes. However, they moved from like there to like a nice walk up in West Village, which probably, they're probably the same
price.
But then like moving from a doorman building to a walk-up, it's just not something you want to do. Even though you might be upgrading your life because you're moving to a trendier neighborhood or something like that, and you get like a really nice loft or something, it's just not nice. Because like, you know, when you need maintenance requests and like, when you see like whatever, some pest issue or something like that, it's just such a hassle to live in a walk-up. Like, I mean, I remember in the walk-up I had like a super, and I would call him like, hey, I saw my mouse, and he was like, yeah, I'll come in tomorrow, like take a look, I'll put something there. And I don't know if he ever did, because we're at work all day. I feel like they don't take these things very seriously. So if you care about like those kinds of things, I think you should definitely consider looking into a doorman building. Not all of them are like, prohibitively expensive.
Definitely not.
So, you know, like don't be intimidated by that idea. I think it's definitely worthwhile.
And I think one kind of other indirect benefit is these doorman buildings tend to be bigger. So they
are
also...
They?
Yeah, I think like then walk-ups... Like they can be taller, they can be, you know, just have more units as well. And you can actually get sometimes a better deal in a doorman building because you don't have to pay for broker fees or anything like that.
I mean, no one should pay for broker fees.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
It's already expensive enough.
But that's just
never...
how it is here. Sometimes you I mean, I've never paid for one and I
Me
will
neither.
Never pay for one. But I know I look on Street Easy and I've seen a ton of apartments in person when I was... apartment hunting, and you know, I almost got I would have gotten the place if it wasn't, you know, they're like, oh yeah, it's like gonna be an $8,000 broker fee.
Get out of here.
Like,
that's
who
like
do you think you are? I found this
rent.
Apartment myself online. I hit you up to like show me the place. I don't even need you here. Like, I could see it myself, you know, like, why am I paying you $8,000? Like,
yeah,
what a joke.
No way,
what a joke.
Do not ever pay a broker fee to get a rental in New York. I will never change my stance on that. It shouldn't be done. I will say though, they're like application fees and stuff, and they're negligible for the most part.
It's like $100 or something.
Yeah, for my walk up it was actually $500, which
that's
is crazy.
That's crazy.
It sounds high, but like obviously if you don't get the apartment, you don't pay this.
Sometimes you do though, you have to be careful. Sometimes they're non-refundable application fees. And and the money doesn't even go towards your rent.
Yeah.
It's just gone. It's ridiculous here. It's definitely like...
So, I mean,
not a renter's market. Like, you don't have as much power.
It is
as
a renter's market, actually.
No, it's not. Like, in other cities, in
Everyone
other states...
Rents.
In other states, though, like, you don't pay broker fees. The seller always pays the fees, right? The fact that the buyers have to pay the fees here means that,
that's what you mean.
That's what I mean. It's like...
Yeah.
There's more like, you know, there's not enough, there's more demand than supply, so like they can play
you don't
play
have
their games
that much leverage.
Definitely one benefit of doorman building, like we said, they tend to have no fee apartments available, and then obviously another one is there's more amenities. We mentioned like having a package room and doorman itself, but like, you know, there's a gym, they can have a pool sometimes,
mm-hmm.
they can have,
don't be fooled, right?
Some office room or whatever you can work
look,
in.
Building has a pool, but you have to pay for that.
Sometimes, like, but it's not a lot. It's like a few hundred a year. It's not
I
like...
I mean, come on, like, when you pay this high of a rent and the amenities don't even get factored into that rent, that pisses me off. Like, even if it's $100, you're already paying a huge amount for your rent.
That's
everything
true.
The
least they could do is give you that much.
Exactly.
Yeah, anyway. It is what it is. So anyway, like we've talked a lot about, you know, apartments and how much to pay. I think it's important to also talk about how to find them. So I think for New York City, at least, there's a website and an app called Street Easy,
mm-hmm.
and it's just amazing. It's New York specific. I think they might have Jersey now too, but basically it just has, you know, apartments for rent and for sale. They have really good like map. You can like look on the map, you can look by filter by a bunch of different categories that you care about, and it's just really good. It's what everyone uses here.
Mm-hmm.
You can
filter by pet friendly, you know.
Yeah, it's like all very specific filters. It's really, really good. You can also use Zillow, but you know, Zillow might be big in like the rest of the country, but Street Easy is really what's best for New York. If you're looking for like, you know, sublets or roommates, you can use something like Facebook groups. Please do not use Craigslist. It's very sketchy.
Definitely not.
Does anyone even use Craigslist anymore?
I
don't know.
People do, but I don't know if it's for anything, you know, anything good. I feel like people do weird stuff on Craigslist. Well, for people, I got a lot of DMs, like people are telling me they're moving to New York and they found our podcast and they find it so helpful. For those people, I'm happy because there are a lot of COVID deals going on right now. And I don't think they're going to last a long time, honestly, because now people are coming back to the city. People are getting the vaccine. It especially gets expensive in the summer with college graduates, you know, coming into the city for new jobs. But right now, there's still COVID deals. Most buildings are offering at least 1 month off.
Mm-hmm.
In some places, even 2 months. But try to get on an off-cycle month, off-cycle lease, I guess. And what I mean by that is just not in the summer or fall.
Yeah.
That's when it's expensive. For instance, I had my other lease was in October, and it was like probably I had the cheapest studio in my building because no one wants to move in October because it's like right before the holidays, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and people just don't move. But when you look at the summer, it's like, you know, 200-300 more per studio, in my experience at least.
Yeah. I think a lot of times people move with like the school season or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like they'll move like before school starts in the fall, or they'll move after school ends in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
So summertime that's why it's the most expensive, right? There's people moving for school and stuff. There's also people moving into the city that graduated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You have a lot less leverage in the summer.
Exactly. But there are some COVID deals right now. I mean, even before COVID or after COVID, before COVID, we already did this, but we will continue to do after too. You should always ask for more, okay?
Oh, yeah,
so, like,
definitely.
When you want to renew your lease and they propose $50 increase, you might think, oh, it's nothing, $50. I'll just like pay the additional. But always push back. I mean, this applies to everything in life, right? No one's just gonna give you a raise. You have to ask for it sometimes. Like, it's the same idea. No one's just gonna offer you a good, you know, rent
No one's gonna give
situation.
You, yeah, they will take advantage of you if they can. Just don't let them.
So like, the first thing they come to you with, never agree to that, honestly. You know, even if it's like $100 increase, I would always just be like, no. And then, you know, we would like bring it down to $25. And it's the small things like that, but it makes you feel good too, because you're standing up for yourself and negotiating a little bit, and like you should see that you have some leverage, right?
It's a victory at the end of the day.
Yeah, why not? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, it feels good. So yeah, let's just reiterate a couple of things that we talked about, right? Mm-hmm. Like just going over the mistakes. Like for you, that was overpaying for that space when you first graduated from college, didn't really budget well, and you should have lived with roommates or maybe lived in a smaller place.
Yeah.
And that wasn't nice, right?
No,
and
that was horrible.
Struggled with
making
ends meet.
I was
even
probably,
though you were making decent money for a first
I mean,
year.
Yeah, but like my month, I was getting like, you know, two paychecks a month. I was getting $2,500 a month every 2 weeks. And then my rent was $3,000, so there would always be game of like, okay, timing things to pay the bills, pay the credit. It's just like a horrible experience, and you know, it's not something that anyone should go through because it's so preventable.
Yeah, it's so preventable, and it's stressing you out. It causes so much anxiety, right?
And it was an honest mistake in my end, to be fair. I did not realize.
And you moved.
I moved. I mean, I moved from Massachusetts. Like, I never had a full-time job before. I could not for the life of me think that I'd be paying, you know, like almost 50% in taxes here.
No.
It's crazy.
Like, you moved eventually. Like,
yeah,
you knew
I did move.
It was a bad situation.
I did move eventually.
Yeah.
So,
you got a base bump, and then...
Got a base bump.
You moved
new job.
To Upper East Side.
Yes, Upper East Side afterwards.
Which
amazing
is
decision.
More affordable and a better deal. So you learned from your mistake, and
definitely,
that's what matters.
Definitely, yeah.
I can honestly say that I basically made no mistakes other than overpaying for that one studio that was right by Grand Central, and I just never used Grand Central, ever. I walked to work, and I was overpaying because of that location. But sometimes that's what you get. I still don't regret that because I think that area is so walkable. I think, you know, if you're in Murray Hill, Kips Bay, you can easily... If, as I said, if something's under 30 minutes, I'll walk. You can easily walk to East Village, Flatiron, you know, Gramercy, all of that. And you can walk to work. So
yeah,
I think...
That's worth paying a little extra for.
Yeah, I think that's definitely worth it. And it keeps me active, so I can't complain.
Yeah. And, you know, other than that, make sure if you need to take public transportation that you're near public transportation.
Yeah. And do something intuitive, right?
Yeah.
So, like, if you work in Midtown West, right, I don't think you should be living in Long Island City. Maybe think about even Jersey, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, cross-town commute
is
the worst thing you can do to yourself.
There's,
look,
like, one subway that does it, and it's, like, all the way up. Like the L
and
train,
even
right?
If you're late and you want to take a cab, forget it. Like, your best bet is to actually take your heels off and run. I promise you, even when I had interviews, like, I would just, like, walk because you'll be late. You know, these things are also unpredictable, like subway and stuff. But when you are working in, say, Midtown East and you live in Upper East, no matter how high up you are, even if you're in like 90s, you lived on the 90s.
Yeah, I did.
You're just on the FDR highway. You get to Midtown in like 20 minutes, well, 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, and I have to say, Uber pooling from Upper East Side to Midtown.
Amazing.
Surprisingly cheap. And
guys,
like,
I at some point Uber pooled every day.
Same.
It was $3.
Yeah.
A day, and the subway is $2.75, right?
Like, you might as well at that point.
Why not? Because I don't have to go, like, underground and smell other people's morning breath. I mean, it was still Uber pool, but sometimes they pick up no one. And I would, like, go to Midtown for $3.
Half the time I'd be in the car alone, and, you know, I could watch stuff on my phone. I have phone service. It's just such a better experience.
Yeah. So I do recommend that. Obviously, that only works if you're staying like east to east or west to west.
Something like that,
but
yeah.
But you can't go cross town. Anyway, this is why I invest in Uber. I'm kidding. That's probably a sign that like they're not. That's why they're not making money, but it's a great company.
Anyway, guys, thanks for tuning in this week.
Yes.
And thanks again for all your questions that you're submitting us. Please continue doing that. And, you know, if you don't already, you know, follow us on Instagram at successinthecity.ny.
Mm-hmm.
you can DM us any questions you have there, or you can email us any questions you have at successinthecity.ny@gmail.com.
Yeah. And one thing I'm actually curious to hear about is, have you guys heard about us?
Yeah, definitely.
I'm guessing that most people found us through Instagram and then went to our Spotify, but I wonder if anyone went to the, you know, found us on Spotify, like, I don't know. Without
yeah, if
any
you,
social media.
If you did, please let us know, because we would love to, like, increase our Spotify presence.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that. So,
so
far we're just like posting memes on Instagram to get more Spotify action. But yeah, that would be a helpful feedback, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you so much, guys.
See you next week.
See you next week.